Two strange weirdos I met in college became quick friends, and they love to travel, so they left the country and moved to Ireland. But now they're back trying to figure out life, and they're a hot mess. The Cadawamplas.
Hello.
Hi.
That's Tavinia.
And that's Tavinia, too.
Okay. Wait a second. What?
And what, sister?
Oh my god!
sister. Oh, we should do a remake to that.
Oh my god.
My own mind.
Back in Tavinia.
Hi.
We're still together. We're still in the same place like last week because we were recording two episodes in a row. So. Ooh. Tiffany's still laying in bed.
Hells yeah.
Hells yeah.
Ate all the cheese.
Yep. So this week, we're getting real with 5-year plans, 10-year plans.
Long-term plans.
Long-term plans.
Yep. And milestones. Let's go ahead and throw it together.
Yeah, okay. And like important milestones in your life.
Yeah. So maybe first let's unpack why we have long-term plans. Like, what's the point of doing those things?
Well, I don't really have any, so.
JK, then.
But you can unpack it about yours if you'd like.
So, I mean, I have, like, very loose long-term plans because I think it's a joke when people make plans of their lives. Like, when people can say, like, oh, I'm going to have kid number 2 by 30 and blah, blah, blah. And, like, on October 5th of 2023, I'm going to get my period. Like, just something crazy.
Get out of
That's
here.
Bananas to me because Like, that's kind of the old saying of you make plans, God laughs, which always cracks me up. Because God just like, that's hilarious. Let's go ahead and throw a little bit of depression on her. And just, anyways.
Just a sprinkle of trauma.
Or sprinkle of debt and go from there. So mine are pretty loose. Like, they're not really ones that I'm 100% stuck by, but I would love if they happened in that time frame. Like, I'm going to probably try to work towards it, but if it changes, I understand, because such is life. But I like to have them just because I like to, sometimes life is really depressing, and I like to have something to look forward to, and to think of, like, oh, this is what I'm working towards, and so that's kind of exciting, of like, yeah, I got plans, and also, it's just nice to have when your family bombards you at holidays, and it's like, so what's your long-term plans? It's like,
yeah, that's true.
God, because if you say, I don't know, they're going to make it up for you.
I just make it up. I just lie.
Well, mine are probably things they want to hear. Like, my 10-year plan is to own a boat.
Just like, I always forget about that until you say it.
I desperately want to own a boat. Like, know how to drive a boat. I love boats. And they're kind of like, okay, but what about career-wise? Ugh, whatever happens, happens, but I know I'm getting that boat. Like,
I guess I'm a captain. I
that
don't know.
Boat's happening. Yeah. So it's also nice to just have to whip out at them when this, they can leave you alone. But I would say, at least in my... how old am I? I'm 26. 5 years of making me 31. My 5-year plan is to be like settled in a home that I've been in for a while, at least. As you obviously know by now, Maggie and I have traveled a lot, and while I love it, I'm also tired of moving all my stuff places every year. And so I just want to, and this is actually, I dreamed of this when I was like 13, of having like a home base, like a headquarters where all my like it's my main place to go to, but like if I want to go travel somewhere for like a couple months, like that's cool. I always have my headquarters back in the states that I can come to. And the only reason why I'm right now, I'd say it has to be in the States because a lot of my family and friends are here, and that's really important to me, to like be able to just get in the car and go see them if I needed to or something like that. Now if a lot of them start dying off in the next couple of years, I'll put that anywhere. Headquarters can go anywhere, but I'm not hoping. Oh God, please no one die. I'm knocking on wood. No one die, please. But for the time being, that's why I want my headquarters to be here. And so, yeah, that's part of the plan, is essentially building up HQ. And to be advanced in my job, or at least be in a place where advancement is possible, and to own a dog, and to probably start working on a family. So, with or without a partner. Yeah, I said it. I'm going to be that crazy spinster. No, spinsters don't have children. I'm going to be
that. I'm going to be that crazy spinster.
Maggie's going to be that crazy spinster. And then all I got so far in the 10-year plan is owning a boat. So that's pretty much
a noble goal.
And I need to live somewhere where I can take the boat pretty easily.
You live like in the middle of BFE, yeah. Kansas with a boat.
Landlocked completely.
But we got a boat, though.
But I got this boat. Yeah.
I'm in a weird place because I'm at like an intersection in my life, I feel like, that, well, it all just kind of loops back to, I really wish that I had not been in that relationship, take a shot,
yay,
and that I had just done my own thing right after, although that would have only saved me a year, realistically, because I spent 4 years in college, 2 years in grad school. Then I only spent 1 year saving up before I moved to Ireland. So really, I would have only saved myself 1 year. But I wish that I had just started out my life doing what I wanted. And like, as cheesy as it sounds, following my heart and following those dreams of just traveling. So my 5-year plan, who fucking knows? I hope that I'm abroad somewhere, like living abroad, not just traveling. I would like to be able to have headquarters in another country. Like, I would like to be able to settle down somewhere else. The States are not for me. I don't think it's fucked. I can't, like, I just can't, I just know. I can't even articulate. Like, I just don't want to be here. But that might change if I meet somebody. I don't fucking know what I'm doing. I know for sure that I want to spend 3 years in my current job. But I don't even know if I'll make it to 3 years, realistically. I might only make it to 2 before I get bored. I don't know. So 3 years, and this is not like a surprise to my job. I think maybe I've mentioned this before, but like, I'm very upfront and honest with them that I'm going to give myself 3 years, and then I'm going to revisit if I want to stay. And like, I'm not saying for sure that I'm leaving at the end of 3 years, but, you know, revisiting, do I want to stay? Do I want to go abroad? Do I want to stay in Colorado, but just not do that job anymore? You know, like, what the fuck am I doing? I'll be 32 by then. By 32, I just hope that maybe I'm not feeling so fucking lost, because I would be totally fine. Like, the instability doesn't bother me. Like, if I was just sort of being like a digital nomad and like had some kind of cool job that would allow me to either, one, live in a van. I think van life would be so fucking cool. Or two, some kind of job that I could like live and work in Europe or an Asian country or South America, anywhere, I don't care. But just having a little bit more stability instead of feeling like, I'm just running out of control, I don't know what I'm doing, would be nice. Because even now, knowing that I'm going to stay in this job for at least 3 years, so technically that provides a little bit of stability, but then it's the fact that at the end of 3 years, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, so little stability would just be really nice. And I don't know if that's confusing, because stability for me can look like instability to some people. So I don't fucking know. And 10-year plans, LOL. I hope I have a dog by then. I don't know.
Like, a boat. We can have boats together.
I don't want a boat. Oh. I'll just ride in your boat. I'll be like your captain. So if you're the captain, am I the skipper?
Sure.
Sure. You were a little sure. You can be my skipper.
That'd be so cute. So actually, I just found this amazing thing. I wanted to go back before I tell you what it is. So, and there's so many articles and things out there, and what I'm about to go through, of what are your 20s for, and like, what are your 30s, like, what should you be doing in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s, whatever.
Whatever the fuck you want to do.
And, yes, yeah, definitely. But the ultimate answer is do whatever you want to do. Age doesn't matter. But in my mind, 20s has always been like it's the startup years.
Yeah.
The startup years, and also it's the time to, like, you're still crazy young, like, do whatever. But also, like, towards the, like, latter end of 20, it's like the, I can feel the, like, hand around my throat.
Yeah.
Pressing down on my windpipe. What am I doing? And the 30s are the time to be doing that, so that hopefully by the time in your 40s, you're, like, kind of living comfortably, and then 50s.
Getting close to retirement.
Yeah, getting close to retirement. And so, like, which, I don't know if this is something, like, more spiritual meaning. Maybe we'll discuss it when we get to the spiritual episode. But for some reason, in all of my dreams and any of my, like, daydreams or, like, anything, I don't see my life past 42. So I don't know if that means I'm going to die at 42.
Yeah, no, same.
Or if I just don't want to think about that part yet.
Yeah.
Like, let's just get to 42, and then hopefully by the time we're there, we'll figure out the rest of it. But, yes, so would you agree with those things, or you have different
opinions? Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like the 20s are sort of like the exploratory phase where a lot of us hold many jobs and many different things, and you're just trying to figure out what the fuck you want to do, who you want to be, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and then, although the closer I get to 30, the more I'm like, I think for me at least, and for a lot of people that I know, actually, the 30s are just like becoming, and especially maybe up to like age 35 for sure, is just sort of like an extension of your 20s that we still don't know what the fuck we're doing, because I mean, people in their 30s are millennials too, so I think we're all just very confused.
True. Yeah, I don't see the confusion going away at 30. So
no, me neither. Yeah, it's like when I hit 30. So at this point, I'll be 30 when my 3 years are up. Which, that, like, gives me a lot of anxiety for some reason, that at age 30, I'll be deciding if I want to stay in the States and sort of, like, live the typical American dream, or if I want to take off to another country. And, like, for some reason, going to teach English, like, in Korea, for example, at age 30, terrifies me, because I feel like at 30, people expect me to be more settled than that. But then I look at, like, our friend Kristen, we celebrated, what, her 32nd birthday in Ireland? I'm pretty sure Kristen's 32. Sorry, Kristen. I'm pretty sure she's 32, and she's like living the fucking dream, and is somebody that I really look up to, because she is doing all the things that I want to do in the next like 5 years. So I don't know. It's a feeling of impending doom, but I don't think it really is, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I was trying to quickly look up on her Facebook page, but
I'm pretty sure she's 32. What are your thoughts? I don't know if you were maybe taking this in a different direction. What are your thoughts of the people whose argument for like not traveling and like not doing all this kind of stuff when they're young, and their argument is that they'll do it when they're retired, that they're going to spend their life working, work hard now so that you can play hard later, basically.
My simple answer is, do what you want. Whatever works for you, do what you want. Because for some, that is their biggest goal. Like, I want to just work hard now so that I can just do whatever I want later. Yeah. And, like, I'll have more money then, like, ideally, and, like, saved up so I could just travel freely and do whatever I want. Honestly, just go. Just go travel whenever you can.
Yeah.
If that means you're going to wait until you're, like, 60, okay, whatever, that's fine. Just go do it anyways. Me personally, I don't, obviously, given the path that we chose, I think it's more of a travel now and don't stop traveling. Like, not like a break. I mean, I probably can't do as much intense traveling because of my job, but like, I still do. So, and I chose to like go do these things and like live in other places while I was younger. Because I know the things that I want later on is it's going to change things. So like, of course, it's totally doable to travel with a child, but people do it all the time. It's just going to be a bit more tricky and a little bit more limited versus the experiences I can have now while I'm single and it's just me. Like, if I wanted to go, like, if I wanted to just get on a plane real quick and go to wherever the fuck and just, like, spend all night in a pub or whatever and, like, just live my best life talking to people, I could right now. But if I was traveling with a kid, that's not possible. So, not to say that the experience would be less fun or anything, but it's just different.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're at in your life and who's with you when you're doing all these things. So.
Yeah. I think I really, and obviously I agree that, yeah, do whatever you want. It's your timeline. It's your life. You can choose whatever you want. But my opinion of the, like, work hard now to play hard later thing, and maybe it's just because of the people that I've always heard it coming from, specifically my ex, take a shot. I think it's a crutch. I think it's a crutch for people who are too scared to take a giant leap and do something cool now. And so it's just like a huge form of procrastination, basically. Like, oh, well, I'm just going to put it off and I'm going to tell people that I'm going to do it later. But like, so most people retire around, what, like 60, 65-ish, if you're lucky. So let's say you retire at 65. You're slowing down by then. Like, you're not doing the same kind of stuff that you're doing now. And I get it that your life is just in a different stage, and so of course you're not like as concerned, but I don't know. I just think of like the cool shit that I get to do now because I'm young and like I have super fucking low standards, so I'll stay in the seediest hostel ever and like not care. I don't think I'm gonna be willing to do that when I'm 65, probably. Let alone, like, why would you want to? Because you don't want to be that creep like in a hostel. I don't know. I feel like this is my prime. And I'm not trying to shit on anybody who's in a different place than me, because we're all just living our best lives and doing what's best for us, and that's fine. But I don't know. And I think it's also the same reason that I really, like, I go so back and forth on relationships and whether or not I think I'm ready to be in a relationship, or whether I just want something casual, or just like just somebody to kick it with, or, you know, like just friends or whatever. And like a few weeks ago, I think I even texted Tiffany about it and was like, you know, I think I am ready to like be in a relationship and like have something serious. And not that I was like actively looking for it, but it was just sort of like a mental shift. Yeah, no, in the weeks since then, now it's like, nah, never mind. Because I just think of how it held me back when I was in a relationship and the choices that I made based on that relationship because I wanted to be closer to him. And I don't know. I don't want that. And it partly also was because it was just the wrong person. So the right person would either come along or would at least support me in it or whatever. I get that. But yeah.
The right person would help to water your garden. Yeah. Your mind garden. Taylor and I have been talking about mind gardens for a while.
Cute.
Actually, in relation to you and other people. So then to give a different perspective, and it's actually very interesting because he's right and also whatever. So like we kind of talked about before, when I left for Ireland, a lot of my family was super pissed with me, and like my dad stopped talking to me. And I think like it's my like dad's last effort to like just grasp straws. He tried to get my family to, you can't see, but I'm doing air quotes, talk sense into me about not going. And so my oldest brother was one of those people. And he kind of told me that I was just being selfish and going, and like, I need to be looking after the next generation to come after me and stuff like that. Cause it's kind of like our job. And like, you kind of like pick the person of the family that's younger than you, and you kind of like help them raise them up, blah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. I essentially told him he's full of shit.
Yeah,
and
wait,
that is not my job to do that. And if it was, someone should have told me a long time ago.
I mean, like, it's your job if it's your kid.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily my job to do that for someone else. And, like, I'm definitely will be there as a resource and a tool. And if anything, it's probably best for me to do this because they get to see a different option of what life can look like versus just school, work, blah, blah, die. Like, and that's really graphic, but just like
school, work, die, blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
like that. Yeah, drove me insane. But like, and he was one of the people too that was like, you know, you work hard now and you do all this travel stuff later. And so he's in his 30s right now, and he has a part time job with an airline, and so he is able to travel anywhere all the time he wants to. So in a way, I find it funny of like, I wish you had told me the exact age timeline of when you start traveling, because I think in your mind, when you're preaching it to me, you were much older than you are now.
Yeah.
And look at you now. But he can also fall back on the fact of, well, this is part of my job. Like, yeah. I did wait until it was set up for me to be able to travel for, like, practically free. He's been to pretty much all of, like, South America and Asia, and I'm very annoyed. Actually, no, he's going to Asia this
fucking
summer
because cool.
My niece is graduating. And that's her gift. She wants to go to Japan.
Aww.
Cutie. He's actually about to go to Ireland. That's why he called me and asked me about like what some of the best things to do. And I was like, well, how long are you there for? And when are you going? So, sadly, Dublin makes the most sense for him to go to. Yeah, I know. He's only there for one night. So, yeah. But he's going to try to go back later with my sister-in-law, like, do longer. I'm like, yeah, please do that, because that's not a great snapshot of Ireland. But,
no, it's not at all.
And I'll try to make it quick, but I feel like we should go ahead and edit out milestones. because I found a great article of questions that apply to this conversation.
We just might not talk about milestones this time. We might talk about it in a future episode.
Sorry. It's 11 questions every 20-something needs to ask themselves.
Ooh, yeah. Are we going to answer them right now?
Yeah.
Okay, do it.
First off, the blog is called All Grown Up, but grown is spelled like, ugh, like G-R-O-A-N, and I fucking love that.
That's fantastic.
And like, his like tabs you can click on are career-ish, relationshiped, like shipped somewhere, adult question mark, blast from past, inspiration, and 20-something life. I think this is amazing. I might need to subscribe to him.
That's hilarious.
Oh, he wrote that book, 101 Questions You Need to Ask Yourself in the 20s. If I show you the cover, you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyways, okay.
Okay.
So question number one is, I'll read the question and then I'll read the little thing he put underneath it.
Okay.
Do the people I'm surrounded by bring me life? And so he says, are your friends taking steps forward or are they still playing beer pong in the basement? Do you leave hanging out with friends feeling anxious or alive? Are your friends anvils tied around your ankles or jetpacks helping you fly? Your life will resemble the lives of your closest friends. Does that fact excite you or freak you out?
So it excites me, one, because my friends are not anvils or any of that, but they also are still the ones playing beer pong in the basement. So it's kind of like it's a toss up.
Yeah. Not all of my friends, but some of them are. And I think there's a point, though, to, I think a deeper point to this of like, are they still playing beer pong? Like, yeah, we still do these fun things like that. But it's are you making wise, like, are you acting? Yeah. Are you still acting like you're in college? Or are you, is this like a, we do beer pong once a month or once a week type of thing?
Yeah.
And that's like our one night of, or
we meet up in Estes Park for somebody's birthday.
Yes. Like, yeah. Or is this an every night kind of thing? Yeah. And like, you still have to get up and go to work the next morning. Like, are you driving while you're doing these things? And so, yes, I would say I'm both surrounded by people who excite me and also who are freaking me out.
It's like that quote or whatever that says, you are a combination of the five people you are closest to. Mm. So for me, it's like you, my mom, and like my sister, and like just like some random, but I'm like, yeah, that checks out.
Well, it also makes me think of that whole like quote of people are put in your lives for like one of three reasons, either to teach you a lesson, to other things.
Like, nailed it. That was so good.
Everyone is put there in your life either for a moment or for a like long term, whatever.
Yeah, to like teach you a moment or to, yeah, be there. We're butchering it. Let's move on to the next
number
one.
Number two. Who inspires me the most? Think about the one person who you want to emulate. Wow, that's a good word. Who is it? Now, what is it about their story or character that draws you to them? Write down the words that come to mind. The person you want to be like the most tells you a lot about who you hope to become.
Like a personal person that we know? Because mine's Michelle Obama.
Yeah, I think a personal person. Oh, I'm assuming. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it could just be Michelle Obama.
I want to go with Michelle Obama.
Okay. I'm going to go with Tabitha Ross Brewing.
God, it's so creepy.
I know, it's so like, creepy. And like the fact that we've never like spoken like that one time and it was just like hello in passing. But everything about her just seems so amazing. Like an amazing human being, and like her love for the children she works with is, she was on PBS the other night.
I know, it's so fucking
what
cool.
What the hell? yeah, I think maybe.
In that case, mine would probably be Sally. I think Sally's the fucking coolest person in the whole world. I messaged her and told her that the other day.
Nice. Yeah. No, that's the other thing too. If you're like thinking of these questions while we're talking about them and you're like, you're thinking about it for yourself, you should let that person know. It's nice sometimes to hear that from other people, of like, you mean something to me and it's like, oh, thank you. I'm not a piece of shit. So number three,
I am, but
I fooled you. three, what are my favorite stories? What are your top three movies? Is there a common thread that runs through each story? If you want to see what matters most to you, look at the stories that resonate the closest. The common thread that runs through my favorite movies, the underdog who perseveres through pain, thrives from their authentic self, and succeeds at something sane people would never attempt. Your core values are lying on the surface of your favorite stories. That's deep.
Yeah. What are yours? I'm going to use books because my movies don't correlate at all. They're like Disney movies and Saving Private Ryan.
I'm going to do books too, maybe. No, I'm going to do two books and a movie. Nope. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I have four. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'll make them quick. So I used to work in a library when I was in high school. I first volunteered, then I actually worked there. And so I had like unlimited access to books all the time, because I'd have to be shelving them, putting them back away. But I'd be like, ooh, this looks good. I'm going to go check it out for myself now. One of them is called Redeeming Love. And it's like a... I probably shouldn't have been reading at the age I was reading it at. But it's faith-based, but it doesn't shove faith down your throat. Which, I have never read a book that was like that before. And it actually talks about a woman who was a sex worker. And it's set back in, like, the days of wearing corsets and stuff like that. She was a sex worker, and this man of God, and he had his own farm and stuff like that, found her and paid for her time just so that he could talk to her. And she kind of sent him on his way or whatever, and he kept coming back to visit just to talk. Never about the Lord or anything like that. He just wanted to come talk and get to know her. And so finally one day he offered for her to just come live with him and be his wife because he loved her so much. And she left. She ran away one night to go live with him out on the farm. But then homegirl kept running away back to the sex work life, like, two or three times. And, like, he chased after her twice, and then the third time he just let her go. And was like, you know, if she's meant to be here, she'll be here. She has to make this decision for herself. And in the end, she ends up coming back to him, like, fully naked. It was very, like, I think it was supposed to be, like, a very freeing moment. It was a very graphic book.
God.
But that was one of my favorites because it's my first time reading a book where I can... It was still faith-based, but it wasn't, like... Yeah. I wasn't drowning in it. Another one is... Of course, I can't think of the name of it, but I can see it. Well, it's going to make me so mad. I can't think of the name of it right now. I'll have to find it. I had the book at home, though. Essentially, it's set back in those times also. And it was my first introduction into homosexuality. And it was this woman... And it was, like, the whole days of, like, arranged marriages and whatever bullshit and give me your goats. And she was set to marry this man named Roger. And whatever, Roger had this really close friend. I can't remember his name. Let's just call him Steve for now. And they were, like, super close friends or whatever. And for some reason, one night, she snuck down to go tell him something. And she saw Roger and his good friend Steve, like, making out. And she, like, fainted. And I remember, this is my, so, like... Not that my parents were hiding it from me or anything like that, but it just wasn't... I was at an age where I didn't really see same-sex couples, or, like, we didn't talk about it as much or whatever. And so, to have my first exposure in the book, when she gasped and, like, in the book gasped and fainted, I almost fainted in real life. And I actually... Because, like, my heart was, like, going nonstop, and I had to close the book and, like, put it to the side for a second. And I was like, whoa. Like, I felt that, like... Like, in video games, when you reach another level and, like, the door opens to, like, this new level, I felt that door open of, like, we're about to learn some shit that we didn't know about before. Like, are you ready? Like, I take a minute to, like, calm my breathing. And then, like, I picked it back up and kept reading. And, like, it was just the most, that was my first introduction into, like, holy shit. And it stuck with me for the rest of my life, obviously. And then my other two weren't really that important, but mostly Jurassic Park and X-Men. I don't have to pick a movie. I like them all. So, those are my top favorite stories. I think maybe the idea of, like, for X-Men, the good and the bad, I see both sides of them, and I see why both of them are standing for what they stand for, because one wants to protect humanity, the other one's like, why would you do that when they're always turning your back on you? Very great dichotomy of, yeah. And then Jurassic Park is just fucking cool.
She like dinosaurs. Yeah, really. Mine are all books. My top I couldn't pick three, so I'm doing four, too. The Outsiders, The Journey to the East, Harry Potter. I'm just going to use Harry Potter overarching because they said stories, right? So, like, Harry Potter's just a whole story. And All the Light We Cannot See. Not to just, like, steal his, but I think the message in all of mine is kind of the underdog, too, because The Outsiders is about, like, a bunch of...
Outsiders.
Yeah, outsiders. They're like the low socioeconomic class.
Just love, love, and make a wish.
Oh my God. Okay. So it's, you know, they're the underdogs and they, well, kind of come out on top. There's a lot of struggle in that book. Yeah, a lot of struggles in that book. Journey to the East is the book that inspired servant leadership. So it's I mean, underdog is maybe the wrong word, but it's about the lesser known, maybe, or like the not as prominent character is turns out to be the main character. Harry Potter, he's an underdog. Voldemort tried to kill him. Jesus. And All the Light We Cannot See is a story about World War II, and it follows like two separate stories. One of like a young German boy who gets recruited into Hitler's youth, or whatever it was called. And then the other story is it follows a young blind French girl, and eventually you read the whole book and like their stories are not, it's really, really long. I listened to it on audiobook actually. It's really, really long, but their stories don't cross until like the very end of the book. And it's just really good, but it's sort of an underdog story as well. Or maybe underdog is the wrong word, but just sort of people who follow their own path. So maybe that would make a lot of sense for my life as to why I like all those stories.
Sorry, I'm trying to find the name of the other book and it's going to make me so mad.
Oh my God.
Question number 4. Would I want to live with me? Before you start thinking about living with someone else, do you even want to live with yourself? Have you opened up your closet doors and faced your monsters? Too many people go into relationships hoping that it will fix all their problems when it actually has the magical ability to show you how many problems you really have. Like a third-rate magician, marriage puts big things behind a curtain but does nothing to make it disappear. If you don't like living with yourself, is it fair to ask someone else to do the same?
I mean, like, physically living with me would be a challenge because I'm just sort of a messy person. I'm not dirty, but I'm messy. So that's a challenge in and of itself, but also no, I wouldn't. And I think that I know that. And that's like literally what I was just saying about not wanting to be in a relationship is because I'm still a fucking mess. So why would I pass this mess off to someone else?
True. I've never lived alone and I'm actually about to for the first time here soon. And well, I did for a little bit actually for like a couple of months, but it wasn't very long. So I feel like I can't really answer that one just yet because I haven't done it and it terrifies me right now. So I feel like my answer would change after I actually,
I fucking love living do alone. It.
So yeah, we'll see. TBD. Number 5, do I love from my insecurities or do I love from my strengths? So what's the difference? Loving from your insecurities demands from others. Loving from your strengths gives to them. Loving out of your insecurities does not want to see people succeed more than yourself. Loving from your strengths hears of other successes and is the first to celebrate with them. Loving from insecurities daily demands, what are you going to do for me? Loving from your strengths asks others, what can I do for you? Too many people love from their insecurities and that's not love.
I think I do a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Just depending on who it is. I think same. Like with my friends, I'd say I'm loving from my strengths, or at least I would like to think that I am. They might beg to differ. But once again, in terms of relationships, it would absolutely be from insecurities, which is why I'm avoiding that for now.
Avoiding
relationships.
Yeah. Definitely both. But even sometimes it's aware, like evident with just some of my close friends I have that I'm loving for my insecurities, which is something that I usually try to just like, I'm at least at a point where I can identify it and then try to change my mind frame about it. So like a small example is like when I told you, I hate that you are able to sing so well because I can't, and like, it makes me so mad. And so like, yeah, like I told you, I think for the longest time, I just wouldn't even listen to your video.
God,
I think I told you that. Maybe I didn't.
I think you did. Yeah.
So, I hate to say it, but I mean, if we're being honest here, I think sometimes I really am loving for my insecurities with everybody. Now, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, I am definitely loving for my strengths because I love them to the core, but yeah.
I think the biggest one in that little section for me is when you see somebody succeed, are you happy for them or are you jealous? And that's one that I really, really struggle with, to be honest. Like, my first reaction usually when I see something is like just a massive amount of jealousy that I'm not doing it. And then I try to overcome it and like, I'll support them. I'll comment on it or whatever. And like, be really supportive. Cause I am happy for you, of course, but it's the underlying jealousy. Like I had it this morning when one of my friends from high school posted a picture. Well, it was Sam, she came to visit us Did you meet Sam? No, you weren't there. I think you were working or something. My friend Sam, I went to high school with her. She's married now. Her and her husband, she posted pictures this morning of their trip to South Africa and was talking about all this cool ass shit that they did. And my first reaction is like, just to scroll on by because she did it before I did. And like, well, I want to do that too. And like, just jealousy. But then it's like, no, that's so fucking cool. Like, I should be happy for you. So I went back and liked it and... There we go. That's
sometimes how you gotta do that scroll by and then have that hard conversation with yourself, like, oh, okay, fine, I'll go back. Number six, where I am ripe with talent and where do I quickly deflate? So it says we all have talent, we all have loads of non-talent. We try keeping it transformed into talent. Write down a few things you're talented at and a few things you're not. Then focus on the things you're good at. Stop trying to chip away at that solid cement block when you have a soft block of cheese just waiting to be devoured.
I do love cheese.
I like how you use cheese. Like, it's like he knows us. So where do you succeed at and where do you...
This is a tough one because... And this is what I learned in a lot of my LPIs. So in the leadership program that we were both in college, you do... this 360 degree feedback called the Leadership Practices Inventory or the LPI. So you take it about yourself and then other people take it about you. And then you get this whole report back. And for me, it was always really revealing because there would be huge discrepancies in the things that I thought I was good at and the things that other people thought I was good at. And it's really hard to come to terms with the fact that, like, I think I'm good at rewarding people for their contributions or like acknowledging people's contributions. Not the case according to the people who took the LPI about me. It's like I struggle with that, and without having the LPI anymore, now that we're graduated, I really struggle to know those discrepancies anymore because there's not somebody like literally presenting me with a fact sheet of what I'm good and bad at.
This one's kind of tricky because some of the things I would think I'm good at, some others are going to think I'm... Yeah. Well, they're going to think that that's not something to be proud of being good at. So I'm very good at tough love and I'm very good at calling out something that I don't agree with to a degree. And I think blatant honesty. So it's all kind of one thing wrapped together. But on the flip side of that, that means I'm also not always the most gentle in the way that I will deliver that. And so that can in turn like affect other people, which then affects me that I feel bad that I've like hurt someone's feelings or like that they feel like they can't. Whatever. So that's something that I'm not very good at. Taking the time to stop and like appreciate people for their work or what they do or just who they are. It's also something I'm not great at. And I think caring. Sometimes caring. I can either, it just depends on the person. I can care a whole lot about you, like to where it drowns us both. Or I can just not care at all about you and just like that, okay. Yeah. I know I should maybe. But I don't, and I just don't want to, so leave me alone.
That's true.
So.
Like, true about me. I mean, true about, I've seen that in you as well, but yeah, no, that's definitely true for me, too. But there are some people that I would cross oceans for and bend over backwards for. And then there are some people who I know would do that for me, and that I would not do that for them. And I realize that makes me a shitty person, but. Here we are. This podcast is all about honesty.
Number seven. What are my favorite hobbies / things I do for fun? And is there something there that I can leverage into career or product? I'm going to skip that one. Number eight. What's the main thing that's holding me back? Is it an addiction, anxiety attacks, depression, an obsession with pinning pictures of rock hard abs on Pinterest while drinking? What is the main thing that is keeping you from moving forward? And who can help you cut the chain? Yikes. What's the main thing holding you back? Probably me.
Yeah, it's just me and fear.
Yeah.
Fear of failure. Fear of not having enough money.
I just wish I could have like a what, I mean, I understand, I'm definitely a big believer in, like, the whole butterfly effect or whatever, but it would just sometimes be nice to have one little quick glimpse into the future to see that I've made it. And, like, so it's okay, because in the end, you're going to make it. And, like, things will be fine, but, of course, if I see my future, then it's going to change my actions now, blah, 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 step off the path, whatever.
There's one of my, like, favorite songs that I can't think of the name of, so I must not like it that much, but at one point, he's, like, the whole song is about, being scared to grow up, basically. And at one point he says, so if the world has a plan for me, can I just take a fucking peek?
Yeah.
Like, so true. Like, I just a little peek, just a little look.
What are my negotiables and non-negotiables? Ooh. What are you willing to give up, and what are you going to cling tight to? Are you willing to move anywhere, but you'll never take a job that expects more than 40 hours a week? Is this job flexibility a non-negotiable, or is it job stability? Write a list of non-negotiables and negotiables, and then do your best to stick to that list. Whoa.
Well, within a job, it's almost, yeah. So for the job specifically, it's almost exactly what he said, where, no, I need my time off. I need my free time. I need my time to be able to go and explore and do things. So definitely a job that does not expect more than 40 hours a week, but I will go fucking anywhere. I don't care. I'll go anywhere. In terms of, like, relationships or life, the one thing that I will never, ever be able to compromise is space. And, like, not even necessarily just physical space, although sometimes physical space as well. But, like, if you text me and I don't respond and, like, you can see that I've opened the text message, maybe, like, don't text me three more times because, like, I'm choosing to not answer right now because I just don't have the mental capacity to do it right now. That's one of my, like, biggest fucking pet peeves is people who, like, text multiple times in a row, or the people who, and it's fine when you do it because
I'm saying,
I see you smirking.
I'll text
over there.
You in all caps. I will not be ignored.
She literally does. That's fine because it's just you. But, like, I saw something, like, a quote on Pinterest or Instagram or something the other day that was like, the whole beauty of our phones and, like, being constantly connected or, like, whatever, just having a cell phone is that you can choose when you want to use it. Like, just because you texted me doesn't mean I literally have to respond right now. I understand that as a society, that's what we've come to expect, but it's my choice to not text you back until 3 to 5 business days have passed or, like, what, you know what I mean? It just kind of drives me really crazy sometimes. So that's my non-negotiable is space.
That's funny because then mine is kind of like the, so, okay.
Yours is also space, but
in a different way. Yeah.
The opposite.
Yeah. So as far as the job aspect of it, I like it when it's not required to work more than 40 hours a week, but I love it so much that I would be willing to work over that amount of time.
Hmm.
There's a huge difference when I have the option and when you're forcing me to do all these things. So my probably negotiable / non-negotiable, well, non-negotiable is that I will not make it a requirement to work over 40 hours a week. Also non-negotiable is a lack of respect. I don't care what level you're at. Like, even if you're my supervisor to me, you will respect me just like mm-hmm. I will respect you. I think that's, we don't have to like each other at all, but respect is very important to me, which is also part of my more grander scheme of negotiables and non-negotiables. Is non-negotiable. It's much easier to come up with the non-ones versus the negotiables.
Yeah, same.
Non-negotiable is that I will have respect. I will give you respect and you will give me respect. Because then what do we have? Like, there's no, I don't need you to like me. 9 times out of 10, I probably don't like you. So just having respect for each other is what I think is most important. going off the space thing, to a point, I understand. I know at some point that I'm just, it's who I am and I'm a little crazy. But to me, it's non-negotiable when you can't make time for another person. I fail to believe that anyone in the world is so fucking busy that they can't even send you, like, a text message or just a quick little something to let them know that, hey, I actually still care about you, and, like I still love you, and, like, you're still a part of my life. Or even to make a plan of going to see that person and actually sticking to it. And, like, that doesn't mean it has to be right away, because I understand, like, money and jobs and stuff like that, you know? But, like, I'm not saying everyone has to be able to just drop everything and get to that person right then and there. I understand that's not, like, a possibility for a lot of people, but... or realistic. But to just to actually reach out to a person and let them know that, like, hey, I know you still exist. I still love you. Things like that. Because to me, I think there's honestly no excuse for the people you care about and to not make time for them. And to reach out to them. And I know, like, actually a lot of my friends are ones that are, they don't usually text first. Like, they don't think to do that type of thing. And, like, it's not their, it's not big for them. And to a, I definitely understand that to a point, definitely. But I think we've kind of come to some kind of common ground with each other of, like, okay, Tavinia will lose her shit if I don't at least text her, like, once every month and a half or something, depending on who you are. Month and a half, so let's just go ahead and reach out real quick. And
Maggie has to text once a week.
Yep. So I don't know. Like, I understand there's some things that, but then that, maybe that's a conversation between our non-negotiables, like, individually, you know, and negotiables, because it's a non-negotiable for me for you to not talk to me except for, like, maybe once a year. And maybe it's negotiable for you to, like, up it a little bit, but not, like, an everyday type of thing, which is fine, you know, having tried to find that middle ground. So I just, in my mind, when you don't show that, you don't care about me, so why should I be caring about you? Because I could make room for other things in my life, so...
Yeah. Okay, I feel like we need to pick maybe...
There's two left.
Two more. Okay, I was going to say we need two more good ones. Yeah. Okay, excellent.
Number 10, what breaks my heart? What injustice makes you angrier than a parrot being poked with a stick? And what's something you can do about it right now? Knowing what breaks your heart can clarify what makes you feel whole.
This reminds me of a speaker at Builder Camp, which is the three-day camp that we take the freshmen to at Southwestern College. Like, we don't do a normal on-campus orientation. They load literally all the freshmen up and take them to an off-site, like, summer camp setup, basically. Anyway, so at one of the builder camps, we had a inspirational speaker or whatever, and he brought up the point that in order to find what you should be doing in life, like, in terms of a job or just, like, your passions, you need to take your passions and you need to take what breaks your heart and smush them together and make a job out of it. So for me, in that situation, what is my passion is college students. What breaks my heart is, well, shelter dogs, but that doesn't really, I kind of combine them though with campus canines. So shelter dogs, and then lone wolves, like people who just are outsiders, who have, like, never really fit in, because that was me for a large portion of my life, like up until grad school, I was just the lone wolf. And so for me, it's pretty obvious what technically my job should be based on that mentality would be working on a college campus in some form of student activities with an extra emphasis on making sure that the lone wolves have a place to go and feel included. So what was the question? I went off on a tangent. Breaks your heart. I think at this point in my life, I could easily say, like, I'm gonna stick with shelter dogs and, like, shelter animals, and I signed up to be a foster, so I'm doing what I can. I could start volunteering though, because the foster right now is, like, mid-April, and I've been signed up as a foster for at least 3 weeks now, and the next foster training isn't until June, so I can't have a foster dog until I go through the training. So in the meantime, I suppose I could be doing more to volunteer or donate or raise money or whatever.
Mike, there's a lot of things that piss me off, but something that's always guaranteed, and I don't know how to then push this back into a more of like a job frame or anything, but something that's always guaranteed to break my heart is when you have trust in someone or something and it lets you down.
Yeah.
That will always break my heart, like in an immediate way. That's why when I'm, at least in my job and stuff like that, if I try, especially, so maybe I guess it does fit, because I work with individuals with developmental disabilities, and a lot of them, their families have just deserted them, and it's someone that they should trust, and it's someone that they thought would have them, and then they kind of let them down, and they think, oh, well, they don't even understand that we're, like, deserting them. They know. So that always kills me inside, and so it's just, if you're going to say you're going to do something, do it. I understand that things change sometimes, but that also kind of plays back into the whole respect of just have some fucking respect for each other and try to care. So last one, it's a big one. At 29 years and 364 days, so like right before you turn 30, if I accomplished just one thing, what do I want it to be? So it says, if you only had the choice to accomplish just one thing in your 20s, what would it be? How do you take one step towards that day, towards that today? Our 20s can feel like trying to walk with shoes covered in fast, dry cement. So how do we keep moving forward? Is it a phone call to ask for an invitational interview? Is it asking a crush out on a date? Is it making an appointment with a counselor? What's one small thing you can do today so that you can go even further tomorrow?
God.
Yeah. So what is something you want to accomplish before the day you hit 30?
I'm scared to like make this about relationships because I would never put like a timeline on that. But I would hope that by 30, I'm not going to say that I hope I'm in a like healthy relationship, but I hope I'm in a healthy place within myself that I could be in a healthy relationship and that I can get rid of some of these like thoughts and opinions of what relationship looks like to me and why I'm so scared to be in one. I hope that I can work past all that and understand that relationships are not supposed to be like that.
I have two that kind of tie to each other. One, I hope that by the time I hit 30, I can fully answer that question of what I want to live with me and like have a hopefully a yes answer of like, I can be comfortable to live with myself and be okay with that. And also that I have my opinions on things more solidified and more willing to talk about with others, which I think is something that we're working on every week when we do these recordings and stuff like that. That's kind of the whole purpose of why we do that, why we answer those questions of what was the hardest thing, what changed us. And so yeah, hoping that I, because if you don't have your opinion, what are you like, what are you doing? And you yeah, so that, and hopefully I'd be able to want to live with myself. We'll see. Okay. What was the hardest part for you to get real with?
I think the hardest part for me, anytime anybody brings up any type of 5, 10, 20-year plan, is just that I don't fucking have one. And I don't necessarily feel pressure to make one, but it's just realizing that I operate very differently than the average bear.
I would say mine is, this question wasn't asked of us, but when I was starting to think about it, of that question that do the people I'm surrounded by bring me life, of me wondering, do I bring the people whose lives I'm in, do I bring them life? That was a hard way to say that.
Yeah.
Like flipping that question around, yeah. Of do I bring life to those people, or do they feel like I'm the anvil tied around their ankle? And so that's something I think that's really hard to think about. Like, I might go make a list of my friends and do some thinking and then text them and be like, hey, so real quick question. Sorry that it's super deep, but am I an anvil tied around your fucking ankle?
Just curious. Yeah. Am I ruining your life?
Thanks and bye. So, yeah. Easiest part.
Easiest part to get real with. I feel like this was kind of a tough conversation.
It was.
Like, not tough in terms of like the racism conversation, but just tough in terms of 27 years old and I have no fucking plans. Like Jenna Marbles on her YouTube channel, she's 32. She'll always be like, I'm a 32-year-old lady. sometimes that's how I feel, is that like I'm supposed to have my shit together and I don't. So honestly, like none of this was necessarily easy because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
This is probably a cop-out, but, like, being able to say, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing in an environment where I know I'm safe to say that, and people aren't going to try to impose, well, do this, and to know that I'm surrounded by someone else who also doesn't know what's going on. Just like that fucking time of the college episode when we were all talking, I was like, the question is, do you all have your lives planned? Montana's like, well, actually, mine's pretty planned. I'm going to be doing this. And then, like, all who wants the rest to follow up with that? Like, I have no fucking clue.
I have no idea. Kind of piggybacking off what you just said, just a little bit, but it made me think. Sometimes, like, when we say that we don't know what the fuck we're doing, that doesn't necessarily mean that I want you to jump in and tell me what you think I should be doing.
Mm. I do that a lot to you.
And it's different when it's you, though, because, like, you're also kind of in the same place. Like, okay, and I'm going to take this to an Ireland place. Go ahead and take, like, 16 shots for this next 5 minutes. It used to get under my skin so much, and people have the best of intentions, and I know that. And I know that they're just trying to be so, so helpful, but my God, it can be so infuriating. When I was trying to stay in Ireland, and I can tell you about any fucking visa on how to get into Ireland. I can assure you that I have done all my research on which visa does which and, like, how long you can stay and blah, blah, blah. And so when I would tell people, like, yeah, like, looks like I have to go back to the States no matter how badly, like, I want to stay. I just can't make it happen right now. And they'd be like, well, have you looked into this visa? What about this? Like, could you do this? Could you do that? Best of intentions. But my God, I've researched the shit out of this. Like, please stop. Please stop. Just maybe just sit and listen would be more helpful. So it's kind of the same situation when it comes to, yeah, I don't have a 5-year plan, but I don't really want you to sit down and try to make me a 5-year plan.
Joke's on you. I already made you one.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
And I'm not even joking. I did. How has it changed us?
It kind of didn't, I guess. I mean, I'm just articulating things that are already circulating in my brain 24 hours a day, so.
I think this dude, what was his name? Let's go back.
I am going to subscribe to that blog, though.
Paul Agone? I'm going to say Agone. It's A-N-G-O-N-E. Oh, Angone. I think these are some really good questions, actually. And so I think it's changed me in the fact of, yeah, I've had all these thoughts of things I've wanted to accomplish and do and where I feel like I should be mentally at 30, which, once again, like we said before, doesn't really fucking matter. You'll figure it out at some point. But I like to have, like I kind of said, my little checklist of things that I want to at least be at a certain place by. And so I think his questions have helped to organize my thoughts a little bit more on certain things, because I think those are some great questions to ask yourself in your 20s. Especially, I really like the one of, what do I want to have done in my 20s before I hit 30, you know? So it's just changed my thinking a little bit because it's kind of organized it a little bit more.
Yeah.
If anything. What brought you joy?
So I was thinking about this. Since we're recording 2 episodes in a row, of course I used all my great things on the first episode, not realizing that I would have to do it again. But as I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the bag of Cheetos sitting on the floor. This week I discovered the snack of hot Cheetos dipped in cream cheese. I know that makes you want to vomit, but fucking try it. But, well, if you like hot Cheetos, if you don't like hot Cheetos, you're not going to like it. But, oh my God, it's so good. Like, I ate it for dinner last night. It's just so good. It's so good. And then a song. This one I made Tavinia listen to in the car last night. And it's pretty fucking depressing. It's called When You Love Someone. And I like the acoustic version. It's by James T.W. Surely that's not his last name. But I've never bothered to Google it to know if that's... Anyway, so it's by James T.W. on Spotify. And the song... My parents are not divorced, neither are Tavinia's. I don't have much perspective on what it would be like to be a kid with divorced parents or to be a person with divorced parents. It's painful no matter what age you are. And so this song is told from, like, the perspective of the dad. And it's basically just, like, talking to their kid, you have to trust us that this is for the best. Like, sometimes the chorus is, sometimes moms and dads fall out of love, sometimes two homes are better than one. And then, like, the verses are, you know, your room is going to stay the same because you'll only be away on the weekends. And, like, I don't know, it just, that song really fucking hit me. Like, when it came on the first time I heard it, I, like, started crying, and I don't even have divorced parents. It just, like, it gave some perspective to what it would be like, or what it is like for people with divorced parents. It just really broke my heart. But it's a beautiful, beautiful song. So maybe joy is the wrong. It didn't necessarily bring me joy, but it's just a good song.
Give you life.
Gave me life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For what brought me joy, I had a dog for a little while. I found him. He was roaming around in front of our house. And long story short, he's been adopted now. But no one came and claimed him. And I'm starting to think that someone just dropped him off on the other side of town, and that breaks my heart. But he's in a happy home now, thank gosh. But he stayed with me for a little bit, and I didn't know how he was, and our backyard isn't closed in, so I, like, left him in my bedroom for the day. And I should have put him in the other room, but it looked like a little prison in there, so I was like, well, at least he has a bed in here. No, no, no. He chewed through everything. And he chewed through one of my favorite backpacks that I just recently got. It's been so amazing. And so yesterday I went back to Ross and got a cool backpack. So I'm actually pretty excited about that.
And a giant water bottle.
And a giant water. It holds a gallon of water. It is so awesome. It was like, you know, if you've ever been to Ross, and if you haven't, shame on you. When you, like, go in that little line, the snake line area to go check out and, like, all that crap that's just right there for you to buy. They have these massive ass water bottles that holds a gallon of water. And I'm so excited. And it can also hang on, like, a fence at, like, sporting events, but your girl ain't going to sporting events. So it's just very exciting. And it has this massive handle and, like, a little button to, like, push open for the spout. And I'm so excited. So those two purchases are really exciting to me.
Truly the little things. Hot Cheetos and cream cheese, backpacks, water bottles. We're simple creatures.
Which we are also talking about, if I didn't want to put water in some bag, put snacks in that massive ass thing and just shake out some snacks. God. God is good.
Mix it up a little goldfish.
Good looking out, man, up there.
All right. Cool. We will talk to y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye. Cool.
Where's my mouse? Oh.